Blog Talk Radio.
3, 2, 1. 10th graders put their self-expression to words and music in Stand Up and Shout, songs from a Philly high school. HBO brings this special to viewers next Tuesday night, and multi-awarded producer-director Amy Schatz joins me next in an internet radio exclusive. It's a service. It's a multi-channel bundle. It's Seggy TV, 2 years old and making waves in the smart TV distributed content universe. Edward Sylvan, Seggy's co-founder and chief executive, details all after the bottom of the hour. Also ahead, can the actors in AMPTP see eye to eye on AI? Fox's World Series windup, our classic trivia question, and YouTube invades television. That's the takeaway of the week. Hello, everyone. I'm Simon Applebaum, simulcasting live from New York on Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, and TuneIn Radio, and present on more than 40 podcast destinations, including the iHeartRadio Podcast Network. This just in, tomorrow will be televised. Our opening half hour is brought to you by Cure, the instant drink mix that naturally boosts your ability to live to the max. 56 degrees at the top of the hour here in the Big Apple. And on this Friday afternoon, wherever you are, we welcome you to the program all about TV's current and future. Great power hour in store for you. Two wonderful guests over the next 60 minutes. And we invite you to be part of the program. It's so simple. Pick up the phone, interact with our guests when you dial in with this number, 646-652-2906. That's 646-652-2906. The number is good anyway. You're catching us across the country or around the globe here on Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, and TuneIn Radio. Chat room is open for business, too. It's SimonApple04 by name. You will find it at our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. And while the program is on the air, you can interact with others by using Facebook Timeline. Click on that Facebook icon, your Blog Talk Radio, Speaker, or TuneIn screen. Follow those instructions, and other people will be live with you. Amy Schatz will talk about her upcoming HBO special after these news notes. Day 113 of the Screen Actors Guild After Strike may be a breakthrough to ending this walkout. That is, if the Guild and AMPTP, that's the TV Film Producers Alliance, can reach common ground on artificial intelligence parameters. Reports from entertainment news outlets this morning infer that AI is the lone issue yet to be resolved to land a new three-year contract. The other big subject, mega content series residuals, is no longer in play. AMPTP and SAG-AFTRA are set to get back together and deal make or break over the course of this hour. Fox's presentation of the 2023 World Series, won by the Texas Rangers 4-1, turned out a viewership loser. The overall viewership average was 9 million, with games 1 through 4 setting individual all-time low audience records. Game 5 Wednesday night was the most watched at 11.5 million viewers, the only game attracting 10 million people or higher. Now, quickies. Echo, the new Marvel television series featuring a Native American superhero, will get a premiere simulcast January 10th on Disney Plus and Hulu. Prime Video will present a live Garth Brooks primetime concert from Nashville on Black Friday, a.k.a. November 24th, the night after Thanksgiving. The service also will carry the first NFL game scheduled on Black Friday ever. CNBC will offer a documentary special on Formula One auto racing November 16th. Squawk on the Street co-anchor Sarah Eisen will host and report this Inside Track program. With 3 months to go in 2023, multi-channel bundle Fubo TV has almost 1.5 million paying customers across North America. Total revenue from July to September reached $313 million, up 43% year over year. And pro wrestling's Top Dog will be back in the unscripted series Biz February 2nd when Love and WWE, Bianca and Montez, comes to Hulu. It's an up-close view of the off-squared circle lives of women's title holder Bianca Belair and husband grappler Montez Ford. And that is news notes for today. It's very rare that HBO will premiere a program on Tuesday night. Usually they do it on Friday, Saturday, Sunday, or Monday. However, what is going to be coming up this coming Tuesday night at 9 p.m. Pacific time is quite special. It is a special that combines music and documentary work. It's called Stand Up and Shout, Songs from a Philly High School, and it comes from John Legend's production company, Get Lifted. Joining us live in an internet radio exclusive, the producer-director of this special. She has won a lot of awards over her career, including 8 Emmys, 3 Peabody Awards, a bunch of Directors Guild Awards, and many, many more. It's a pleasure to welcome to this program producer-director Amy Schatz. Amy, welcome in.
Thank you so much for having me.
What brought you to do Stand Up and Shout?
Well, my background is in making documentaries with and for and featuring kids. So I've done many films over the years where we're lifting up the voices of young people. I had been just, you know, coming out of the pandemic. I had made a film, which was a great pandemic project. It was an animated musical of the classic children's book, Runaway Bunny. And I was thinking, oh, now kids are coming back to school. Is there a way that I can actually get in the classroom and start talking to kids again, which is what I had been doing up until the pandemic? And at around this time, in December of 2021, the Surgeon General had come out with a distressing report about the mental health of kids and called the declining mental health of young people the crisis of our time. And I was talking with HBO about that, and we wondered, is there a way to look at some of the stresses that young people are feeling? You know, the world had turned topsy-turvy. Everyone was stressed, but, you know, the kids feel it too. And the question was, could we look at that? Is there a way to explore what was on the minds of young people? What were they going through and how were they feeling? And so that was the background. That was the kind of the mission, like, okay, how to do this, how to look at this. And I was doing my research and read an article about a school, a public school in Philadelphia that was involved in a very unique music tech curriculum in which they the 10th graders wrote original songs with the help of local musicians. And I was very moved by that. I thought, oh, isn't that, that's beautiful. That's not only a way to hear what the kids are expressing through their music, but potentially a way to hear how music can help. You know, maybe music is a way that the kids would find some degree of healing. And so, and that's what it turned out to be for me. It was a beautiful story that went to the heart.
Mm-hmm. When you and your camera crew and your production team with John Legend's organization got to Philadelphia and saw this location, which is Hill Friedman World Academy, HFWA, what about this program really surprised you that you did not expect? And what did you not expect from the kids, the 10th graders in this program?
Yeah, that's a great question. You know, going in, it was really just a research trip. I went in very quietly, just me doing research with a camera person, and was completely blown away. We went in, you know, not sure, was there a story here, was there not? HBO had supported the development, but it was still very early, and Get Lifted, you know, was not yet even in the picture. It was very, very early. And, you know, what happened was these visiting musicians were invited in, and kids were kind of filing in quietly, awkwardly, not so sociable, wearing masks, very hidden, very, you know, shy, awkward. And the local musicians who were brought in by Mr. Thurman, who's the music tech teacher and program director, somehow got songs written by the end of the, you know, 50-minute music class. And it was like magic. It was watching, you know, the room go from a very, you know, kind of quiet, withdrawn environment to students swaying in their seats, clapping and singing along. And it was beautiful. So I think I was surprised by, you know, what I shouldn't have been surprised, because I feel like we all know that music brings people together and music can bring joy and music can unlock things. But it happened immediately. It was like we went in there and you could see the effect of music by the end of the hour. And so that was a, you know, and then as we went week after week to see how the students were working on their own songs, the goal was for groups of kids to create little mini labels, and they would write their own songs. And by the end of the year, there were 30 or so, 32 songs. You know, it was just fascinating to watch. And it was inspiring. And surprising for me was just also seeing this group go from post-pandemic, withdrawn, a little awkward, not feeling very musical, to, you know, working so collaboratively and beautifully and generously with each other.
Amy Schatz is the award-winning producer and director of Stand Up and Shout, Songs from a Philly High School. It premieres on HBO this Tuesday, coming Tuesday night, November 7th, 9 p.m. Eastern Pacific Time. It'll also be running on Max, and it'll also be running, for those of you in the New York area, this weekend at the Urban World Film Festival in Midtown Manhattan. We'll tell you how you can get tickets for that screening a little later on in the half hour. And if you have a question or comment for Amy, who joins, by the way, Amy, where are you? Are you in New York right now? Are you where else are you? Not in Big Apple.
I'm not far from you. I'm in New York City. I'm here in New York. And, you know, filming, we filmed in Philadelphia. It's very much a Philadelphia film. It's about Philadelphia's youth, and which is not so far away. And, you know, I going to Philadelphia and filming there was, it was just a treat. It was, you know, Philadelphia has so much creativity, so much music, so much both, you know, kind of grit and beauty. And, you know, just being there and you creating a tribute to the city was a very great experience for me.
And if you have a question or comment for Amy Schatz, make a call, 646-652-2906, or use the chat room, SimonApple04 by name. We have two big 90-minute episodes of Tomorrow Be Televised coming your way next week at this hour, 3 p.m. Eastern Pacific. On our episode coming your way Monday, we'll get into a service called Sensical. It's been around for quite a while. It's one of the best kids and family networks around through smart TV sets and smart devices from an organization called Common Sense Networks. Eric Berger is the co-founder and chief executive of the company and the service, which recently not only has an ad-supported service, recently launched a subscription commercial-free service. And Eric will be our lead guest to talk about it. And then back with us, Jacob Navick, the chief executive officer of interactive service pioneer Genvid Entertainment. On Halloween night, they did a premiere of a series called Silent Hill Ascension, which ran on Twitch. And in case you don't know, Twitch is now available on Samsung smart TV sets. It's been around actually for quite a while. But we understand that Genvid may get a breakthrough in terms of offering this series on a major mega content service. And Jacob will talk about that and where Genvid is going from here. And finally, we'll talk about the multi-channel bundle Plex and a new feature they've just announced called Discover Together. We'll talk to Plex official Ricardo Castro. That's all coming up Monday, 3 p.m. Eastern New Pacific, right here on Tomorrow Be Televised. Amy, when you talk to the 10th graders about the process of taking their thoughts about what they've been dealing with to song, how did they do it? Did they pick, like, I want to do it in pop, I want to do it with rap, I want to do it with blues, I want to do it with soul or Latin? How did they pick the way to do the song as well as writing the song?
Yeah, I mean, what we captured was that whole process from unlocking something in deep inside themselves, doing some creative writing, some brainstorming, to actually finding the beats, coming up with the melody, and producing, technically producing and recording the song. So they're doing like soup to nuts. And we documented a few of the, in the film, how these things come about. And, you know, one of them was, I'll give you the example of Dayani, who's 15. She was new to the school. She felt like a little bit of an outsider, that people didn't like her. And a lot of her music and her writing had to do with God. You know, she was thinking a lot about God and praying to God and, you know, seeking kind of guidance in her life. And her lyrics were workshopped in the classroom, and they came up with a kind of a beat and a rhythm and a melody. And it's this incredibly rousing, gorgeous song called Hey Lord. And, you know, Dayani had talked about how she felt during the course of this experience, where she describes it so beautifully. She said, at first I felt like a crab that wouldn't come out of its shell, but now I'm a flower blossoming. So each of the students had their own kind of epiphanies of like, what are we going to do here? Another example is Nehemiah and his group came up with a song called Be My Girl, and it was a love song. And you know, they had, as they called it, kind of a United Nations group, where one student was from Mexico, one was Vietnamese, one was Jamaican, one was, as they call, American. And so they came up with sort of a Latin beat for it. And it was because the student who was Mexican wanted to offer something of his culture to the song. So each of them have their own their own style, their own genre. We were amazed at the range of songs. Some are love songs, some are songs about loss, some are songs about race, some are raps. You know, that was, you know, the extraordinary range of the sounds is just astonishing. And the other thing that I was really impressed by when I interviewed the kids, I love to talk to kids. I love having one-on-one with them. And I asked them about their musical, the kind of music they love. And the range of what they love also surprised me. It went from jazz to hip-hop to Patti LaBelle to Frank Sinatra, and these kind of crazy range of influences. And I love that. They were really had such incredible diverse tastes.
Mm-hmm. Now, I understand that over the course of this process, they actually create an album of songs. Do they also do a performance live at the school or somewhere else in Philadelphia? And what has happened to the album?
Yeah, the album exists on SoundCloud. The name of the album is Growing Up Black, which is the name of one of the songs. And it exists on SoundCloud, Hill Friedman Records. And every year they produce a new album in this class. It's a required class. All 10th graders must take it. And, you know, the kids aren't necessarily musical. They come in. Some never have done anything like this before. Most of them have not. This was their sixth album. They're on album number 7 now. And I just forgot your question.
Well, is there live? Do they do any live performances? Have any of these songs in the album become hits, or have had a life outside of Philadelphia?
Well, it's all new, and you know, I think that the film hasn't been released yet, so the whole world hasn't heard it yet. But at the end, they usually have an album release party when we're all finished with the album and it's produced. They usually have some kind of a celebration. And during our year, they did a school-wide concert. So they performed for their family, their friends, their community, and it was really a joyous celebration. And I think given that it was post-pandemic, people could come back together again. Hundreds of people showed up, and it was just full of joy. It was like, yay. We're back here together. We're supporting our children. They've made something beautiful. And isn't it, you know, wonderful for us to all be here together celebrating in person? And it was just such a joyous celebration. And that is included in the film as well. It's our ending. I gave away the ending, but that's the ending.
Mm-hmm. By the way, do any of these 10th graders see themselves as songwriting as a career, you know, following their experience with this program?
Well, you know, there's a lot of talent, and, you know, Mike Jackson of Get Lifted, one of our executive producers, came to on location one day and saw some of the performances early on and was just kind of fell in love and was blown away. And I think that to have, you know, somebody, you know, come in from the outside and just see like a spontaneous performance and feel that way, you really feel the talent, that there's incredible talent there. I think some of the students would love to pursue a career in music. We have one student, Deshaun, who's always freestyling and a bit of a leader in the classroom. And when I interviewed him and asked him about his future and what he imagined, he said, if, you know, this music thing doesn't work out, he'd like to be a therapist. So they're at this age, 15, 16, where they don't yet know what they want to do with their lives, but they have dreams. And I hope the film captures this special moment in time where they're dreaming big and they're sharing, you know, not only their worries and the stresses and the hardness of life, but also, you know, their aspirations for the future. And it's just so beautiful to see kids, you know, voice those dreams.
The special is Stand Up and Shout, Songs from a Philly High School, and it premieres on HBO this coming Tuesday, November 7th, 9 p.m. Pacific Time. Will also run in Max and here in the New York area. It will be screened this weekend at the Urban World Film Festival, an annual event in Midtown Manhattan. We'll tell you how you can get tickets for it through their website before the end of the half hour. Amy Schatz is the award-winning producer director of this special. She is still with us live from New York, along with yours truly, Simon Applebaum, where it is 56 degrees at the top of the hour. Let's hear from you in our remaining minutes with Amy. Give us a call, 646-652-2906, or use that chat room, SimonApple04 by name. 1 week from today, our second 90-minute special of next week will join us. A few years ago, there was an independent movie that got critical acclaim, particularly in the gay and lesbian community. It's called Boy Culture. Well, there is now a TV series adaptation of that film. It's called Boy Culture Generation X. You'll meet the star of the film and the series and the writer of the series as our lead guest next Friday. Also on the program, we'll have one of the top executive producers in television, Glenn Mazzara. His credits include The Shield, Crash, the TV adaptation of the Oscar-winning movie, and The Walking Dead. His newest project, Beacon 23, which went from being a project on Charter Spectrum Video On Demand Systems to AMC. It will premiere later this month on MGM+. Glenn will be with us in our second half hour. And finally, from the USA Network series, Barmageddon had a great debut late night after Monday Night Raw last year. Back for a second season in a few weeks. We'll have executive producer Chris Wagner. That's all coming up a week from today. 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific, right here exclusively on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. Amy, what was it like working with John Legend?
Well, I think that we had a dream team on this project. To have HBO, who really supports these programs featuring young people lifting their voices, was just incredible. And then having Get Lifted behind it really was able to amplify their voices and this film in a way that, you know, was unimaginable. So, you know, very, very grateful to them. I think, you know, in John Legend and Mike Jackson and Ty Stiglioris and Tommy Benjamin from Get Lifted are all, you know, this incredible team that really believes in this idea of, you know, supporting music education. And that's the theme of the film, really, is that, you know, if we support our kids, if we give them arts education, if we, you know, give them the best that we've got to offer, they'll really thrive and they'll really benefit from it. And so the mission of, you know, their message and our message, and, you know, it was all, you know, incredibly harmonious. Like, let's support this. Let's do something wonderful. And let's get a message out to the world about the importance of arts education and how music can be healing and how, you know, music education can unlock something in kids and provide an incredible source of hope.
You've had a very prolific career. You've done series, you've done specials, you've done animation, you've done live action, you've done performances. And as you mentioned, you do a lot of programming dealing with kids in all sorts of formats for HBO, for CBS, other places. How do you pick what you do?
Sometimes I'm asked to do something. I was asked to make a film about September 11th for kids. I was asked to make a film about the Holocaust for kids, not subjects that I would naturally want to dive into. So sometimes I'm asked to explore subjects, and then I have to find a way to do it that makes sense to me. In the case of those two films, you know, I don't like to present something to young people that will, you know, traumatize them. And both of those events, I was very worried, how am I going to tell this story? But found a way to do it in a way that was kind of educating them and, you know, done with love and with tenderness. You know, I often like to work on, you know, films that are exploring kids' big ideas. I feel like we always learn something interesting and deep when we talk to kids. So my work is a lot about, you know, partnering with them, what stories we can tell together about the world.
Mm-hmm. And when you approach kids about tough subjects like 9/11, like the Holocaust, like Parkland, which was the subject of another project you did, Song of Parkland, that you did several years ago.
Mm-hmm.
When you deal with tough subjects, is there a common way you do it? Is there an approach that works, let's say, 9 times out of 10 when you deal with kids and you have them express themselves on the toughest of subjects?
Yeah, well, I struggle with it a lot. I feel protective of kids. I want them to feel that the world is a good place ultimately, even though you know, we've all lived through harsh times and the world, you know, tough stuff happens. And so when I work on these films, I like to try to find the hope. I like to try to find, make you smile, make you giggle, even when you're crying. I like to, you know, figure out how to do it in a way that offer some comfort at the same time. I know that sounds abstract, but for instance, I'll just talk about the Holocaust Project. I had an 8-year-old in conversation with his Auschwitz surviving great-grandfather. And it was that conversation which was about the terrible story of his great-grandfather's survival, but it also was offset by this loving relationship between the two, sitting side by side and holding hands. And so those are the kinds of things that I try to figure out, well, how to make it be about love, too, at the same time, and about hope.
Yeah. The name of that project, by the way, is called, and it was on HBO also, and I believe it was an award winner for you, it's called The Number on Great-Grandpa's Arm. I've seen it. It's a tremendous, a great piece of work.
Thank you so much. I mean, it's an 18-minute little film, but it there's something, I like the simplicity of it and its brevity, but it has a lot of heart in it.
Mm-hmm. And I should point out also that among your work was an animated series like Very Much You Produced, which was Harold and the Purple Crayon, based on the great Crockett Johnson's book. I was a big fan of Crockett Johnson. I used to read his Barnaby scripts. Which were collected in book form way back when. Something we should do, by the way, an animated series about Barnaby. That is a great, one of the great untold animated strips, both for kids and for families, too. What's next for you? Where will we see your work next?
Well, I'm thinking about that now. Not quite sure. You know, I often do like a mix of, you know, either animated storybooks for little ones or some of these more, you know, sophisticated documentaries, I guess you'd call them. But I'm thinking about it, so it takes me a while to, you know, kind of get my bearings and figure out what makes sense. But I hope to know soon. Otherwise, I'm going to be a little nervous, but I'm thinking about it.
In the meantime, you can catch Amy's latest work, Stand Up and Shout, Stories from a Philly High School, this coming Tuesday night, 9:10 Eastern Pacific Time on HBO. Check your locals where HBO is available in your area on cable and satellite. They'll also run on Max, the mega content service available on smart TV sets, smart devices, and multi-channel bundles near you. And if you're in the New York area, you can catch the film this weekend as part of the annual Urban World Conference taking place in Midtown Manhattan. For more details about that, to get tickets, you can go to urbanworld.com. It's urbanworld.com. And, of course, to find out more about the HBO presentation, HBO.com. That's HBO.com. Again, the program is Stand Up and Shout, Stories, Songs from a Philly High School, Tuesday night, 9 p.m. Eastern and Pacific Time. Amy, thank you very much for coming on. Congratulations on you and everybody on the making of this special. I know it's going to be dynamite, and congratulations on the Urban World screening. I hope it's a great success.
Thank you so much for having me.
You're very welcome. Thanks for making the time. Have a fantastic weekend. Amy Schatz, producer director of Stand Up and Shout, Songs from a Philly High School, joining us live here in New York. Classic trivia question coming your way, but first some words from our sponsor, Pure, the instant drink mix that naturally boosts your ability to live to the max. Do you ever wonder what makes you fatigued or tired at times? Try dehydration. It's a leading cause of headaches, brain fog, and muscle weakness. Luckily, there's a great way to bounce back, and it's Pure. It's a clean, tasty, effective way to stay hydrated and operate your best. Pure's instant drink packets mixed with water contain a balance of electrolytes and glucose, while free of artificial flavors, sweeteners, and preservatives. Pure is all natural and perfect to deploy on the go, at work, or home anytime you like. Try Pure today and feel the difference for yourself. Use the promo code TELEVISED for 20% off your order. That's promo code TELEVISED, TLEVISED. And for more details, go to curehydration.com. That's curehydration.com. Now it's time for our classic trivia question. Final time we are offering this question with 5 prizes in play. We've got 2 classic musical CDs for you. Lifetime's Wonderful Women in Rock with the likes of Cyndi Lauper, Bananarama, Annie Lennox and the Eurythmics, Linda Ronstadt, the Bangles, and many more. And the Chicago Great Hit CD with Saturday in the Park, Feeling Stronger Every Day. Does anybody really know what time it is? Song for You and much more. We've got the Uber card from AMC Networks. We have the Redbox Movie Night on Us card from Crackle Connect. And we have the great book from Emmy-winning Northern Exposure writer-producer and showrunner Jeff Melvoin, Running the Show, Television on the Inside. That could all be yours if you know the answer to the following question. Name the 1990s USA Network drama series about a California-based biker beach patrol. By the way, one hint, two-word title. Name the 1990s USA Network drama series about a California-based biker beach patrol. If you know the answer, email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com. It's simonapple04@yahoo.com. Remember to enclose your name when you email, as well as your mailing address. And if you don't get a winner by the end of today, we'll post the question tomorrow on Facebook and Twitter, or X. Facebook at Simon Applebaum, X or Twitter at UBC Simon TWBT. Remember, if you're a previous winner or you're a guest in this program, you are not eligible. One final time, here's the question. Name the 1990s USA Network drama series, two words, about a California-based biker beach patrol. SimonApple04@yahoo.com. That's the email you use. Get in there and win, and all the very best. When we come back, we will have our wonderful takeaway of the week, the YouTube invasion of television. But first, you'll meet Edward Sovan. He is the co-founder and the chief executive of Siggy TV. We'll hear from him live from Toronto, Canada, as we pause at the bottom of the hour for web identification. You're listening to the best internet radio on the planet, www.blogtalkradio.com, speaker.com, and tune.com, together reaching over 95 million listeners around the world every month and growing. Saturday Morning Entertainment is coming away tomorrow on BTR. It's an entertaining time for you and your whole family. Saturday Morning Entertainment, tomorrow, 9 a.m. Eastern, 6 a.m. Pacific, exclusively on Blog Talk Radio. And remember, Best BTR is always available to you 24/7 at YouTube.com. Welcome back to the second half of this Tomorrow Be Televised Hour on a Friday afternoon, November 2023. This half hour is brought to you by Laird Superfood, plant-based coffee creamers and other products that fuel you from sunrise to sunset. Simon, I'm with you along for the ride on this Friday afternoon, 57 degrees at the bottom of the hour. We have another half hour to go today. Great guests along the way, and we also have our takeaway of the week. So let's hear from you. Give us a call, 646-652-2906, or use that chat room, SimonApple04 by name. As you know, because of the smart TV set explosion, as well as devices and multi-channel bundles, we are seeing an incredible variety of new networks, including networks aimed or managed by people and organizations of color. And one of them is a service that's actually been around for 2 years. It's called SEGI TV. It's spelled SEGI.TV. And it's both a channel and a multi-channel bundle, and they are starting to make big waves in the world of television. Joining us live from Toronto, Canada, the co-founder and chief executive of SEGI TV, Edward Sovan. Edward, thanks for being here.
Simon, thank you so much for having me. It's a pleasure.
Tell us about how you and your brother got SEGI TV off the ground.
Thanks, Simon. Again, SEGI TV is an acronym for Sycamore Entertainment Group. And going back to about 2009, we realized that there was a lot of monies going into slate deals back in 2010, 2009. There was a lot of slate money going into the studios for specific large budget films, and we realized that none of this Wall Street money that was coming in was finding its way to filmmakers of color. And as a result, very few films of color were being made and distributed. So we saw an opportunity coming from Wall Street, like myself and my brother coming from the world of advertising. He ran advertising agencies. We saw an opportunity to be able to capture some of this interest of Wall Street into Hollywood and start consulting smaller African-American filmmakers on how to go about structuring their companies and their films in order to attract some of this sophisticated financing that was starting to happen during the day. And that's how SEGI TV was born.
Now, I understand that it's both a channel and it's also a multi-channel bundle. Let's start with the channel first. What kind of programming can people find on it?
We have a fast channel, so thank you for asking that question. So it's everything, and that's the beauty of this new technology called FAST, which stands for Free Ad-Supported Television. There's everything from cooking shows to classic television, music videos, foreign films, everything from Africa to East Indian to Asian. Trying to include everybody. We have poker, MMA, sports commentary, all kinds of channels that appeal to everybody. From all different races, all different backgrounds, and all different subject matters. And we're very proud of being able to offer those that television, and there's more to come in the very near future.
And when it comes to original programming that Sycamore is either doing or getting from other parties, is it as TV series scripted, unscripted? Is it made-for-TV movies? What's in that that bailiwick?
I think our focus for the very near future is a lot of unscripted television. One of the things that we're really pushing towards, Simon, is using unscripted TV and subject to be able to grow scale, because in order to make waves and as an ad-supported channel, in order to make waves, scale is very important for the advertisers that will advertise in our channel. So we're doing a lot of unscripted television projects coming up around subjects such as sports, because we feel sports has big followings. Each sport has their own interstories in it, and there's a lot of unscripted gems in there that we can extract for TV. So that's really where our main focus is in terms of original programming. And then we have a couple of films that we're working on that deal with certain individuals within the hip-hop culture that have gained prominence. Then we're looking at their stories in order to turn those into documentaries and or feature-length films.
So unscripted now, both films and series, and then down the road, hopefully not too far, scripted series, made-for-TV movies and all that stuff.
Oh, absolutely. We think that that's the way to go. People really are – we're from the data that we gather, there's a lot of interest in the unscripted series and then made-for-TV films. We see a lot of opportunity there. And in addition to that, we also see live events, whether it's concert shows or live sporting events. There's really an opportunity for minority-owned media companies to be able to grow scale and attract viewers using these various platforms that are being used by the larger networks with the bigger sports brands. So we're just taking that strategy and using it on more niche sports. We're using it on more niche programming and more culture-driven content that brings in audiences at scale.
Now, how many FAST channels or FAST-supported channels are in your bundle? Because we're now seeing these bundles, whether it's Tubi, Xumo, Freecast, have anywhere from – and some of the smart TV set makers themselves, like Samsung, LG, and so forth, have anywhere from 300, 400, 500, Freecast has 800 channels. How many are in your bundle?
Right now, we started off at about 40 channels, and we've since grown it to over 133 channels, and we're looking to add another 50 channels by Christmas holidays, and that's going to even double into the new year. So there's so many different channels out there. There's so much cross-promoting and so much sharing between the different multi-channel bundles platforms out there that we're currently at about 133, and we're looking to double that into 2024, which is a great opportunity for us to be able to showcase what we're doing and be able to open up larger, broader conversations with the advertisers and the ad agencies that represent them.
Before we get into where you're being carried and about how you're doing with advertising, why do you think we are seeing this incredible explosion of news channels, particularly among independent players? And in fact, it's fair to say that a lot of these new channels that have popped up, many of which we have covered on this program for the last few years, again, available through smart TV sets and devices, and bundles like yourselves, they're not coming from the major studios. They're not the rerun like the All This channel, the All Black Bat channel. It's coming from independent players who've got original content, both scripted and unscripted, to offer.
The reason why I believe that they're coming now is because there's a pathway through ad-supported to allow this support. In addition, the beauty of fragmented television is that there's something for everybody. And you name the subject matter, the content. It doesn't matter what it is, there's a niche audience that will tune into that programming. So it's a great opportunity to be able to offer programming to very specific niche audiences, and you couple that with the lowering of the technology that it takes to be able to build out these channels and the lowering of the cost of producing high-quality content, and you have an explosion of these different channels speaking to different audiences when it comes to race, subject matter, regions, world titles, world subjects. You can create content on everybody, and there's a demand for it. And because it's ad-supported, there's a way to continue to build it. So we're very excited to be able to be part of that. And in specific, when it comes to minority-owned media companies, black-owned media companies, you know, there was a proliferation of coming forward of the large brands to be able to increase their spending on black-owned media in order for us to come to what's more equitable, being equitable recipients of ad dollars that are being spent on the majors. All these things combined are creating a huge explosion of independent channels, and of which most of them are being trafficked, and they're growing their businesses, which I think is an amazing thing going forward.
The subject this half hour on Tomorrow Be Televised is Segi TV, that's SEGI.TV. It's both a ad-supported service, and it's also an ad-supported bundle. And they're both available on smart TV sets and smart devices. We'll tell you which ones shortly and how they're doing with advertising and a whole lot more. And by the way, Segi's got some big plans for 2024. We'll talk about that too. And you're hearing Edward Sylvan. He is one of the co-founders of the service, and he is also the chief executive. He joins us live from Toronto, Canada this half hour. On Tomorrow Will Be Televised. Tom, I'm with you live from New York, down below Toronto, 57 degrees at the bottom of the hour. Let's hear from you. Make a call, 646-652-2906, or use the chat room, SimonApple04 by name. And coming up for the top of the hour, we've got our takeaway of the week, which sort of ties in very well with what Edward is doing. It's about the invasion of YouTube into television, and it is happening. And wait till you hear what we have to say about where some of that invasion is coming from. We've got two big episodes, 90-minute episodes coming your way next Monday and Friday on the program. Coming up next Monday, we'll have Common Sense Network's co-founder and chief executive, Eric Berger. His service, Sensical, which is ad-supported, now has a subscription video on demand, commercial-free format. We'll also have Jacob Navek from Gem Entertainment. We've had him on before. It's the interactive TV maker. He is the CEO, and this past Halloween night, they premiered a new series called Silent Hill Ascension. It's a new virtual world series that is running on Twitch and may soon be running on a mega content service available through smart TV sets and devices. And we'll find out what GenBiz has in store for 2024. And finally, we'll talk about another multi-channel bundle, Flex, which just introduced a new feature called Discover Yourself or Discover Together. Ricardo Castro, one of the key directors of Flex, he'll be joining us as well. All Monday, 3 p.m. Eastern Pacific here on Tomorrow Be Televised. Right now, where can people find your service? And where soon will they be able to find it?
Right at present, you can find us on the mobile devices, Android and iOS. And as we speak, Simon, we're coming out and relaunching on all the CTV channels, which include the obvious Roku, Amazon Fire TV, LG, Samsung, and then closer at the beginning of 2024, we're going to experiment with a launch on Xbox. But for now, it's the mobile devices where we find a lot of people are watching our events and programming.
And how are you doing with advertising?
Advertising is on our bundles. We have we're always bringing in new advertisers on the bundle side, and we think that that's a great opportunity, and we're growing that. And the other part of what we're doing, so we're very proud of the growth of the advertising on the bundle side. And as you watch our multi-channel bundles, you'll see more and more diverse and various advertisers coming in on our programming on a programmatic basis. And the other part that we're really focusing on, pre-launch of our CTV apps, is direct buy advertising from the agencies, and we're really working on growing scale in order to really engage with the bigger brands on doing live events and, you know, non-scripted TV where they will take our inventory. We're getting a lot of interest from the major brands. We've had conversations with the likes of General Motors and some of those advertisers, and we see going into Q1 24 a huge opportunity for us to launch in a big way back on the AVOD CTV channels.
Mm-hmm. Netflix has had a great run of late with single sport documentary series covering anything from the NFL with a show like Quarterback to Formula One to golf. In fact, they'll be doing a live event, I believe it's next weekend or the weekend after that, from Las Vegas.
Yes.
This is their
yes.
first live sports mm-hmm. event, which will have people from the Formula One racing document that had, you know, racers on that circuit, pairing them up with golfers in a nine-hole tournament. I understand that SEGI is also now exploring that kind of programming.
Yes, we are. We have experimented in the past with live events that were sports related, and then as live programming with events that occurred even an hour previous, we're rebroadcasting it. And we did a lot of behind-the-scenes experimenting. And two things we found out, Simon. One of the things is people love sports and their teams. People love to hear about these athletes and their daily lives and what happens away from the court or the track or the stadium. And so we've really attached ourselves to that, and we're going to be creating some original programming around motorsports and European soccer or football, as you call it. So we have two opportunities that we're working with right now, and we're going to be coming into and developing and releasing those projects in the fall of 2024. And the reason why we see these as two opportunities is that you have the Olympics coming up in 24, where these sports are going to be played in that huge arena. We also have World Cup soccer coming to North America, so we'll have a tie-in there. And then in a couple of weeks, we're going to have Formula One in Las Vegas, which is going to give huge notoriety and light on that sport. So we have our hands in all of those three areas, in all of those three sports, and we have original programming that's going to be speaking to those areas, and it's only going to be available on SEGI TV. And we're doing that as a strategy to be able to attract the scale that's needed in order to grow these smaller niche streamers such as SEGI TV.
Are you looking at other specific areas that you want to tap, for example, kids and family programming or young adult programming or Spanish language shows in the unscripted realm? For example, Roku. We're going to talk about Roku in the takeaway of the week, little hint, has been doing very well of late with a group of Spanish language lifestyle shows and sort of the Food Network, Home and Garden television vein.
Yes, we are. We're doing quite a bit of programming for young adults. In fact, we're speaking to somebody right now on an animated series where, you know, it deals with hip hop and animation. So we understand the opportunity there. We on our relaunch, we have a very, very broad Spanish language section that's coming up that speaks to kids. And another thing that we're doing, and we're trying to speak to sort of underrepresented and diverse audiences, is about focusing on education and the STEM subjects, you know, science, technology, math, and engineering. There's going to be programming that's going to speak to that. It's going to inspire young people in order to get young people of color to be able to focus attention on these areas of study so that they can participate in some of the programming that's going to come before it. So that's a very, very important focus for us, and that programming will round out some of the licensing of content that we'll do on our relaunch coming up in late 2023 and early 2024.
Hearing Edward Sylvan, he is the co-founder and the chief executive of SEGI TV, available as both a service and a multi-channel bundle on smart TV sets and smart TV devices. Questions or comments in our remaining minutes with him, give us a call, 646-652-2906, or use the chat room, SimonApple04 by name. Coming up before the top of the hour, our takeaway of the week, the YouTube invasion of television. Wait till you hear how really big this invasion is. You will be shocked. And coming your way a week from today on our program, we will have the star and the writer of the new scripted series, Boy Culture, Generation X, an adaptation of the popular independent film of some time back. Plus, the executive producer of Beacon 23 coming to MGM Plus later this month, Glenn Mazzara, whose credits include The Walking Dead and The Shield. Plus, Farmageddon's executive producer, Chris Wagner. That series comes back late night on Monday nights on USA Network following Monday Night Raw later this month as well. It's all coming your way Friday, 3 p.m. Eastern New Pacific, right here exclusively on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. In terms of interactivity, we now are at a point where a lot of the smart TV sets that are now owned by 90% of all U.S. households have the ability for people to manipulate the TV set using their voice, a voice remote, body language, because of artificial intelligence software that allows features like Siri, Alexa, Google Assistant, others to be used. Have you looked into interactive television at all or interactive advertising?
That's an excellent question, Simon. One of the things that we're doing in our relaunch is to take Seggy TV's focus away from always keeping up to the ever-changing technology, and we have actually contracted with a company that only does that, and that way we can focus our time and resources on developing shows, creating shows, licensing shows, and marketing shows, which is our core competency. And in partnering with these technology providers, one of the key focuses that they're having and launching on their current clients is the ability to interact and with the viewers and the people who are consuming our content, leading with our artificial intelligence. So on our relaunch, you will absolutely we're very proud to say that you will absolutely see that as part of our offering, because in order to stay current and stay relevant with your content, you absolutely have to have the ability to keep up with technology. And that's why we made a very important decision not to always do it in-house, but to outsource it, partner with the companies that it's their business to be able to keep us relevant and be able to offer the latest technology and interactivity to our viewers. And we'll focus on what we're good at, which is creating content.
Edward, we'll end on this. How are you going to raise your profile with the ad community and with the public? For example, do you want to go and be involved with organizations like the Interactive Ad Bureau, the new Streaming Innovator Alliance, which is, by the way, trying to get a lot of members from services owned and managed by people of color, get involved with Magna's Equity Upfront. If the Growth Funds come back, that organization, the Independent Streaming Alliance, that has a lot of independent players. What's the game plan in terms of raising the profile among both the ad community as well as the public and the press?
As you mentioned it, a handful of those organizations we're currently members of and currently doing business with. So, you know, part of raising our profile among that community is making sure we show up to their events, networking with people within the organizations, always being on top of the different various organizations that are coming available to be part of for these niche and smaller streamers on the one side. So we've attended meetings from the IAB. We're in current conversations with organizations such as Group Black and some of the newer organizations that you just mentioned. We just recently become members of ourselves. So that's the industry part of it. Raising our profile to the general public and the people who will become our viewers and create scale for us, it's very important to be able to attach ourselves to the various pop culture events that are happening that are already getting tens of millions of viewers, and find creative ways to be part of these narratives. As I just mentioned earlier, you have World Cup soccer coming to North America. There's creative ways to be part of the soccer narrative, part of the soccer conversation, include the culture, and which will bring in eyeballs to what we're doing, whether it be live shows, live events, sponsorships. These are all ways that we can participate in these world-class events that are going to get millions of viewers and still have a voice within that, because we're riding the coattail of the publicity that's coming from these events themselves. So again, we have the World Cup soccer coming, so we're involved in soccer. We have the Olympics coming, and there's narratives around culture. For example, breakdancing is going to be an Olympic competition coming up in Paris, and you know, breakdancing is part of Black culture. There's stories around that we're going to talk about, tie it back to the Olympics, and there we have a tie-in to a global sporting event to raise awareness to that the advertisers will be interested in. Again, we have motorsporting events that bring in tens of millions of viewers in the form of Formula One and different motorsport events. We're going to tie into drivers of color, female drivers, find ways to tie into them, get our brand in front of them, tell those stories, and that will attract eyeballs and attention that we can then serve up to the advertising community in order to grow scale and grow traffic. So these are some of the creative ways that we're going to be involved in these events, because at the time that these events are happening, they're going to be the topic and subject matter. And we understand that the media likes to speak about always what's relevant. So we have to find creative ways to tie into that conversation in order to bring attention to the content that we're creating around that event. So those are some of the ideas and some of the initiatives that we have going forward.
The name of the venture is SEGI TV, SEGI.TV, and if you want to know more about it, both as a service and as a multi-channel bundle, which will be coming either currently or soon to Apple TV, Amazon Fire TV, Samsung, LG, other smart TV sets and devices, Roku included, here's where you go online, www.segi.tv, that's www.segi.tv. Edward Sylvan, thank you very much for having us be part of your profile-raising exercise. All the very best with year three of your service and hopefully much, much more. And we'd love to have some of your show producers on our program down the road in the months to come.
Simon, thank you so much for having me. And I'm looking forward to bringing some of that exciting show information to you in the near future.
It'd be a pleasure. Thank you so much, Edward. Take care. Enjoy the weekend to the max.
You too, Simon. Bye-bye.
Edward Sylvan joining us live from Toronto, Canada. We'll wrap Tomorrow We Televise up after these words from Laird Superfood. Are you ready to feel more energized, focused, and supported? Go to LairdSuperfood.com and add nourishing plant-based foods to fuel you from sunrise to sunset. Use the promo code TELEVISE at checkout to save 15% off your purchase today. If you're looking for a better coffee experience, for example, try out Laird Superfood Creamers. They are produced from high-quality, all-natural ingredients, sustainably sourced, and whole food all the way. There's no artificial flavors, colors, or additives. So ramp up your energy and focus today with Laird Superfood Creamers. They are available at LairdSuperfood.com. That's LairdSuperfood.com. Remember to save 15% off your purchase when you use the promo code TELEVISE, T-E-L-E-V-I-S-E-D, at checkout. Unfortunately, we're not going to have time to do our takeaway of the week, but we will do it on Monday's episode. And on Monday's episode, we'll have from Common Sense Networks and Sensical, co-founder and chief executive Eric Berger, from Gem Entertainment, chief executive David Novak, and Ricardo Castro from Flex. If you came in late on today's episode, want to catch up on episodes you missed, go to the homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. And check out our program on podcasts all weekend long, 40 great podcast sites to choose from, including the iHeartRadio Podcast Network, Zencaster Creator Network, and many, many more. Love to hear from you about what you heard on the program today and your thoughts generally about where TV is at and where it's going. Email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com. Find me on Facebook, LinkedIn, and X or Twitter. Facebook, LinkedIn, Simon Applebaum, X or Twitter, UBC Simon, TWBT. Whatever you have to say, say it, and we'll say back to you. That's our promise because what you say matters now more than ever. The views expressed are those of the participants. They are not fielders of Blog Talk Radio Speaker and other services of this program. Andy Cho is B-Charge General Manager. Dave Sonnenberg is Head of Content. Tomorrow We Televise was brought to you today by Laird Superfood, plant-based coffee creamers and other products that fuel you from sunrise to sunset. And by Cure, the instant drink mix that naturally boosts your ability to live to the max. Remember, if you would like to make a contribution to the Israel Emergency Fund for the United Jewish Appeal and the Federal Jewish Entities here in New York, go to www.ujaxedny.org. All contributions are tax deductible, and they are extremely accepted and grateful. For Tomorrow We Televise, I'm Simon Applebaum in New York. Thank you for listening. Have a fantastic weekend ahead. Back on Monday, 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific. You know where, Blog Talk Radio, Speaker Tune Radio, and all of our podcast affiliates. Whatever you're up to between now and then, please make it safe, make it great, and keep the prayers up for the state of Israel and everyone in the Middle East. Until the next time, stay well and stay tuned.